Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello, everyone. This is Jeff Salkin again for Eye on the Community. We have a very special guest joining us in studio for Eye on the Community, Joseph Brady, president of the Bradco Companies, the High Desert's longest standing commercial real estate brokerage company. And also he's president of Alliance Management and Barstow Real Estate Group. Joe publishes the Bradco High Desert Report and holds two of the highest professional designations in the commercial and industrial real estate industries, CCIM and SIOR designations. Joe is a very well-known community advocate. He's very safety and consciously aware of crime prevention because of the industries and the people that he's worked with over the years. And we just want to welcome Joe to the studio. How you doing, Joe?
I'm doing great, Jeff. It's good to see you again.
Thanks for coming in. Our segment today is going to discuss a very important topic. October is Crime Prevention Month, and the reason we have Joe in studio with us, because of his expertise in the commercial real estate industry and Southern California, he has seen and heard and participated as a community advocate in many issues that involve crime prevention and safety. Because of the relationships that he has with law enforcement and governmental agencies and just general citizens like our listeners of Eye on the Community. Before we start, I'd like Joe to take a moment to introduce himself so our listeners know a little bit more about his background. Joe.
Jeff, thanks. Been up here now. I've been in the High Desert now for 30 years. But as far as the crime issue goes, it's an issue that has impacted California. It impacts the Inland Empire. I've worked with great friends like Michael Stevens on Citizens for Safer Communities and that coalition. Crime is something that impacts all of us, and I think that one thing that hopefully people will take away from today is that we need to be more cognizant of just our surroundings all the time, of where we go, how we do things, all the way down to posting a Facebook picture saying, well, I'm on this cruise ship and I'm having a great time and I won't be home for 2 weeks. That's kind of the invitation for the bad, for the person who wants to break in your house to come on by. So
somebody, somebody, while they're trying to let folks know that I'm enjoying myself, I'm out of town, what they've just done is they've announced to the world that my home is vacant. And that could be an issue, or if it's a business owner and somebody knows a business, that could create a crime issue. There are one of the topics that we're going to cover before we get through with our segment, Joe, is how can folks take responsibility and watch out for helping with crime prevention, not only for neighbors and friends, but as they go to a local supermarket. You've seen that. But let's start with your expertise, which is the real estate industry. How has not paying attention to crime or paying attention to crime helped or hurt listeners in Southern California, both at home for commercial businesses and just in general?
Well, I think that on the commercial side, I think as you go to some of the major centers, you go to major malls and major retail establishments, most of those landlords have been forced to hire security firms. And people drive in and they feel a little bit safer when they see somebody. So you go to a local Costco and you might see some gentleman on a bike. People don't realize that somebody's paying for that. And the tenants are going to pay for it. The landlord's going to pass on that charge to them. We lease a center in the High Desert region. Landlord recently had to hire a security firm. It's a nominal amount. It's about $4,000 a month. But when you spend that $4,000 a month across 22,000 square feet, and all of a sudden that tenant's bill, his participation, the common area expense, goes up by 30%. He calls the landlord and he's upset. And the landlord said, I have to do what I have to protect not only my tenants, but anybody that's going to come here to be sure that they have a safe experience. So I think that, people don't realize that we're going to pay for this. It's not, I see a lot of apathy now.
What do you think has created the apathy in general? Because I know that there, you can give a lot of specific examples, but what creates that? I think that post 9/11, there have been a lot more attention to, we need to, you know, if you see something, say something. And because we're dealing with the topic of crime prevention, doesn't responsibility for being aware of what is around you at the moment or looking out for others, whether you're leaving your house to do your lawn or whether you're going to the mall or whether you're driving into Los Angeles. Can you tell us what your thoughts are about that?
I think that apathy is also tied to the fact that, that people get worried about if they call 911 and they report something that it may come back on them. You know, they may be a part of the witness program. And then, you know, if there's a court case, they may be brought in and you look at, you know, what happens with gang retaliation, things like that. I think that people get scared. You know, at the end of the day, we're Americans and we live in the greatest country in the world and we have the greatest freedoms in the world. But at the same time, we also have some social issues that are rather challenging. And a lot of those social issues have been brought about, I think, by very poor decisions made up in Sacramento. And with that, we're held accountable, and then we spend more money we spend more money in the security systems within your house and the DVD players to play back so that the crook that when he walks up now. I mean, if you think about it, Jeff, 5 years ago, we didn't have cameras like we do now. Now the bad guy or the bad person walks up to the camera and they get their picture because they know if they take less than $950, they're going to get a little ticket and they're out. I mean, so it's really changed, I think, the attitude by people. And what
would you tell, you know, even in our school systems, there are issues that are very serious across the country, but here in California with the safety of children, you know, we have to pay a little bit more attention. And without getting into specific topics, people need to just become more aware of their surroundings and be more proactive. I call it going from being unconsciously aware to consciously aware of what we are responsible for when we leave our houses. Is there an effort here in California, in Southern California, to address crime? What are tips that you could give to our listeners that might help them out, not just in October, but throughout the entire year?
You know, I think that when you pull into a shopping center, you look around your car. When you get out of your car, you look around. When you get back in your car, you look around. But, you know, in the flip side, I think that we have some legislators that one in particular that I can think of, Assemblyman Jay Obernolte. Jay is a product of private enterprise. He did extremely well. He's up in Sacramento, I think, just doing a great job. Not for the high desert region, but he's doing a great job for everybody in California. And he's a big proponent on trying to change the crime perspective and trying to run it, you know, initiatives and get things on the ballot. He gets it. You know, I don't see crime reducing itself. It's not something that's going to reduce itself. I think that we have people that you know, have some issues. They know by, you know, committing a crime, they could get on national TV. You get those that, you know, look at what we saw in Las Vegas and the loss of 50 lives there, the building in San Bernardino. We live in a different world today. And I think that part of it is, you know, we all have a phone and we can communicate and take a picture. And that I don't think has helped. You know, I think there's times that you can take a picture and send it to law enforcement. But another thing, Jeff, that I think is also a challenge for some communities in California. They can't afford the price of protection through their police department or their sheriff's department. I know that Sheriff John McMahon, who I just have a personal, you know, relationship with and just a lot of respect, and Greg Herbert on up here and Rick Berenger over in Victorville and everybody else through, you know, the Inland Empire, they're having a hard time attracting law enforcement because of the pay, and they can get paid, you know, better in other communities. So now they're having to offer bonuses. And I mean, even the Army's offering bonuses to go reenlist. So that's an issue. We have a labor shortage. And if you have a labor shortage, then it's going to drive the demand and price on up. And I know that the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department and Riverside is having the same issue and trying to attract as many as that they can for the monies that they have in their budget.
The business perspective that you're bringing is because of your experience in the real estate industry. And even if a citizen is buying a single family home as a homeowner or a business person is buying commercial real estate property, or they're trying to lease or rent space to run a business, there is a financial component to the cost of crime, and not helping law enforcement create the environment to protect citizens in general. What can citizens themselves do? Our listeners right now, who are our audiences, are hearing some information that they normally might not get exposed to because of the perspective that you bring, Joe.
You know,
what would you share with them on what they can do as citizens of California and moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas who literally want their family to grow up better and safe in a safer environment than maybe they did?
When Mike Stevens helped facilitate the creation of Citizens for Safer Communities, and we had some debates, but you know, publicly within the media, within the High Desert region, within parts of the county, one of the issues that became pretty clear is neighborhood watch and things like that. There is a reduction in some communities throughout Southern California on the number of people in law enforcement, and that's just a fact. There's a greater amount of allocation by law enforcement in trying to prosecute some of the criminals. So it takes away from them, and as Mike and I talked, and we didn't disagree about the fact. I think that we took two different angles. I wanted more law enforcement, where Mike was advocating that we be more responsible and accountable for our own issue, and it really is the deal. So, yes, you spend more to live in California, but there's almost 40 million of us that live here. One of the downsides, Jeff, that we don't talk about a lot are people that are older, that are over 50, and a lot of them are moving out of California, but we also have a lot of people moving into California. Right. California's California, right. And no matter for all the social problems that we have, we're still California. I mean, you can, from the High Desert, wonderful, the Inland Empire, you can be to the beach in an hour and a half. You can be up in Wrightwood or Big Bear an hour and a half skiing. You can be at a Mammoth. I mean, we still are California.
Sure.
So there's that issue. But I think ultimately we have to be more accountable and responsible ourselves. And while I'm one that challenges government and the amount that we pay in taxes for the services that we get, and I think that sometimes we get less services the more taxes we get, I also think that people need to be cognizant that I think in time, as pension costs and healthcare costs for municipalities continue to grow, that, unless we tax ourselves out of this, which I'm not an advocate for, we're going to have to take more responsibility and have the neighborhood watch groups and get to know who your neighbors are and communicate
support
amongst
law enforcement.
Absolutely.
As best as
absolutely
possible.
Support them. I mean, thank them when you see them. I mean, whenever I get a chance to see one of them, I thank them for what they're doing. And it's not a very nice job. If you see them in a restaurant, go buy their bill, man. I mean, go buy their lunch. Thank them for what they're doing. But, tap them on the shoulder before you go jump on their table,
You referenced a gentleman a couple times. His name is Michael Stevens. And even though our listeners can't see or hear Michael actually is in the studio with us today. Let me just give a brief background, because this focus of the segment on the community and other segments we're going to do throughout the month of October is all about October's Crime Prevention Month. And Michael Stevens has held several positions in key agencies in the criminal justice system. And he's the initiator of this effort to hopefully let our listeners hear more and our audiences hear more about what's going on with crime prevention and what are tips that they should take to heart and become consciously aware of to help themselves, their families, and their neighbors. Michael was part of the San Bernardino Probation Department, the Sheriff's Department, the District Attorney's Office, as a supervisor in Victim Witness Assistance Program and other departments. And he's currently the coordinator and founder of Citizens for Safer Communities Coalition and is spearheading this effort to let communities know about October's Crime Prevention Month. And that's part of the reason why I and the community wanted to engage with advocates and just thought leaders about this particular issue, because it's so tough and people want to avoid talking about confrontation, but we really need to address it head on in order to get our arms around a growing issue in all of our communities, not just in Southern California, but in all of the state of California, not just the rest of the nation. I do have a question. It's a little bit more micro. What impact do you think that homelessness has had on crime, and how does that impact our listeners and audiences and just citizens in California and Southern California?
A lot of the experts have seen a pretty significant increase in homelessness since Prop 47 was passed by the voters in November of 2014.
And tell us what Prop 47 is.
That really reclassified felonies and misdemeanors. So while you may have gone on into a store and taken $1,000 or whatever, you know, prior to that date, it would have been a felony, and now it's a misdemeanor. They've seen not only an increase in the amount of homelessness, but why that there's homelessness. I mean, there's some people that are homeless because they lost their job and they lost everything. There's some people that are homeless because they want to be homeless. And there's a segment out there that have some, you know, mental issues that are homeless that really need some help. I think that it's it's an issue, Jeff, that I think is real serious. There's over 135,000 documented homeless people today in the state of California. There are nearly 65,000 homeless people in Los Angeles County. I was born and raised in Los Angeles. Okay, so 65,000 people go, well, what's that? Well, that fills up Dodger Stadium, okay, 56,000 plus another 9,000. That fills up two-thirds of the Los Angeles Coliseum. Those are people that are documented homeless. And as you drive into Los Angeles, the number is staggering. You drive throughout the Inland Empire, you see it in certain cities more so than other cities. And then you go to other areas, down near the coast, and you have people say, well, this particular city will pick them up, and they drop them off in another city. It's a huge issue, and it's an issue I think that's going to continue. And with homelessness, will come crime and panhandling and drug use, we've seen it here, we've seen it in other parts of the Inland Empire, and it's real scary because business wants to go where they have a healthy atmosphere. You know, business wants to go
they
where
want
there's
safe
good
environments.
School, absolutely, and it's paramount. And not every business can afford to go to the Silicon Valley, where the average, where the average employee makes well over $100,000 a year. It's just not going to happen. There's just no housing on up there. So we have some challenges. And again, the challenge comes down to how much do our cities or counties or regions want to spend on law enforcement.
The word watch is part of the terminology that we're using to help promote crime as. October's Crime Prevention Month, and you're addressing the H in watch, which is home and personal property protection. Lock your doors and windows, walk in pairs, just keep your eyes out. But from a business perspective, people want to go to the grocery store, they want to go to retail businesses, they want to leave their homes and go out, and they want to be safe. They want their children to be safe. They want to be safe when they walk through a parking lot going in to a supermarket. So homelessness is part of the issue, but it's not all of the issue that folks, when they go out into the general public, need to be aware of. What are some of the other experiences you have on what people should do to remember to watch out for their safety while law enforcement and other entities try to help prevent crime in communities?
One thing that I strongly advocate for is, reaching out to your local officials and letting them know what you think and how you think that you can make.
Don't stay silent.
What's that?
Yeah, don't stay
absolutely
silent.
Absolutely not. You know, one of the things that, Mike and I have agreed on a lot of things throughout our careers. I mean, we're very closely together on a lot of issues. And he's taken it upon himself to go out. I think so far he's talked to 40 groups so far. This is a topic we need to talk about. This is a topic we need to deal about. I was a child that got in a lot of trouble, and I wasn't accountable and responsible. And my father, through not abuse, but through a Marines military school, taught me how to be responsible and accountable. We have to be responsible and accountable. This is our issue. We need to lobby our state lawmakers to build more facilities, to incarcerate people that just shouldn't be out on the street. I don't agree that we should be letting people on out that have been violent offenders and let them back on in society. I do believe that we need to work wholeheartedly on recidivism and that issue. When I was in high school, I went to a high school back in Colorado. I was very involved in working on recidivism issues at a very young age with the Colorado State Prison back in Cannon City. We have an issue, and this is our issue. And candidly, Jeff, we own this issue, and there's no way around it. And it's one of those dirty little words that people don't want to talk about, but we have to talk about it, and we have to be cognizant. And when you pull into your garage, pull down your garage door opener. When you walk in your house, look around. Lock up your valuables. There's a lot of things that we can do that we don't do.
And the idea is to scare people. The idea is to just make people more alert that today we are living in a different world. We're living with different issues and consequences of what happens if we don't pay attention to what is referred to as crime.
Think about how many times that people will send out some on Facebook because they love Facebook and they want to share with the world that they're climbing the Alps or they're on top of a mountain and they're not at home. We recently were at church. It was about a month ago, and as we left, a gentleman walked up to me and introduced himself and said, "I don't think you know who I am, but I live down the street from you." And I said, "Oh, okay, great." And we got to figure out who everybody was. And we were talking about just crime in general and what we could do to make it a safer neighborhood through Neighborhood Watch. And he said to me, he said, "I made a huge mistake last summer." He said, "My wife and I went up to Alaska and we took a gorgeous cruise. And I don't post a lot on Facebook, but I posted this picture." And he said, "Wouldn't you know that the next day, our home was broken into." And what's funny is that you wouldn't think that his home where he lives would have been one of those homes that were broken into, because he looks like he has a safe home in a safe neighborhood. We live right down the street from each other, and you wouldn't think that it would have happened. But he said, "I will not ever post again." So, I mean, when I post, typically I'm back home, and I'll 2 weeks ago I might have posted something about Sedona, Arizona, but I posted it when I was back home, not while I was in Sedona, Arizona. Yeah.
If there's any takeaway that I could think of, and we're going to let Joe give some final thoughts in a moment, but if there's one takeaway, it's because of how everybody wants to connect and belong. There are some folks who are out there who are not your fans. And you need to, as a listener, and you need to share with your family and your friends and your neighbors and your communities, be proactive. And as Joe said, contact your leaders and contact your senators and your congresspeople and talk about what are they doing to help prevent crime. And that's part of the reason why we're doing this series on October's Crime Prevention Month. Some last thoughts, Joe, before we leave the segment.
Jeff, I have a great office staff that just does a lot of great research, and most of it is something that we don't charge for, just because I think we're just trying to make this a better place to live, work, and play. But I asked Francisco and Taylor the other day just to take a look at one of these websites, and it's called Roadshack or something. And I said, let's look at where the highest crime is in California. What was rather interesting, there's 100 cities that they rated
in the state,
in our state from top to bottom. And there were 10 within the Inland Empire that made the list. Okay. But the ones that I found rather shocking, this was shocking. I moved from Santa Barbara 30 years, 4 months ago in 2 days. So I kind of remember when I lived there, I felt really safe. Their previous rank last year was 103rd highest rated city in California for crime. Today it's number 75. Okay. It has more crime in a perception based on what's happened than Victorville, California. Victorville has greatly improved from 49 last year to 71 this year. So that says a lot to what the city is trying to do, to city manager Keith Metzler, to Rick Berenger, to John McMahon. But check this one out. Laguna Beach used to be 192. Today it's 86.
I'll be there.
Laguna Beach. I mean, when you
the
go to Laguna,
is different than the reality.
Well, Laguna, you feel you could pull up on PCH and get out of your car and not ever lock it and not ever look around you. But what does that tell you when they have moved that high? Yeah. So is it a problem in the Inland Empire? It's a problem in California. And it's a problem that we have to deal with. So I strongly urge people to get involved and don't bury your head in the sand. Okay? If we want California to grow and be the greatest place on planet Earth, we need to do something about it, and we need to do it through the legislative process and contact people like Assemblyman Jay Obernolte. He's the easiest guy to find. That's Obernolte. If you miss him, he's up in Big Bear. Look to the website Citizens for Safer Communities.
Right.
That's how we're going to beat this. We're going to do this ourselves, and we're going to do it in tandem with our friends in city, county, and state government.
Our very special guest has been Joseph Brady. He's president of the Bradco Companies. I had mentioned at the beginning of our segment, the High Desert's longest standing commercial real estate brokerage company. And Joe Brady publishes the Bradco High Desert Report and holds two of the highest professional designations in the commercial and industrial real estate industries. He is a well-known community advocate, and I sure hope that our listeners will share the information that they've heard from Mr. Brady today. And thank you for joining us on Eye on the Community, Joe.
Jeff, thanks. It's always great to see you.
You too.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.